1290 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Delayed 40 minutes by technical issues, the ex-social media chat between former President Trump and Elon Musk.
Mr. Trump claimed there was an audience of 60 million when it actually peaked at 1.3.
We're going to have the largest deportation in history of this country.
Calling asylum seekers.
People that are in jail for murder and all sorts of things.
And
they're telling them, if you come back, we're going to kill you.
That's never been proven. A statement by the Harris Walls campaign called it self-obsessed rich guys who will sell out the middle class and who cannot run a live stream in the year 2024. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
The Democratic convention next week. Sources say former Presidents Obama and Clinton will address the delegates, as will President Trump. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton opened an investigation into CenterPoint Energy, electric utility for Houston, over its fumbled response post-Hurricane Beryl. This is ABC News. It will not threaten the U.S., but Tropical Storm Ernesto has formed.
Still more than 900 miles to the east-southeast of San Juan, Puerto Rico, but it's moving fast, west at 28 miles per hour. Ernesto is going to get to that lesser Antilles pretty quickly, the northern part of it at least. Tropical storm warnings include Puerto Rico, St. Martin, St. Vincent. We're talking about 3 to 6 inches of rain. Widespread and up to 10 locally. Then we'll turn the path to the north, and it's by Thursday that we see it becoming a hurricane and then takes a track toward Bermuda.
ABC News meteorologist Ginger Z. After losing batteries for his GPS device and ending up badly off course, 60-year-old Jim the Shark Dryer ended his bid to swim 80 miles across Lake Michigan from Grand Haven to Milwaukee. A support boat fished him out last Thursday, telling him he'd been swimming north instead of west. He had 47 more miles to go instead of the 23 he figured, and the forecast was for waves up to 9 feet. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.fm.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this Civic Media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Matt Nair on air.
We were talking about Donald Trump. I'm sorry, Donald Trump. He also said that he knows how to correctly pronounce Kamala Harris's name. He just chooses not to. And so I think that kind of opens it up for us to take some liberties.
Yeah, what would be your fix to the name?
Dave from New Berlin texting in Conald.
Conald.
Dump. Also, Calvin's was Donald Trump.
Who said there's a correct one?
Except, like, it's pronounced Kamala.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as it's Tuesday Tangents with our own Luke Mathers. Be here, find out what's grinding his gears and more.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Partly cloudy today with an isolated shower or thunderstorm possible later this afternoon. Our high 83 with wind out of the southwest at 5 to 10. Tonight, clear 62. Tomorrow, partly cloudy 84 with showers and thunderstorms likely Thursday and Friday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 59.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its pre-diabetes awareness partners.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in for the partisan primary election day edition of the Devil's Advocates radio show. We're just getting ready for the big one. That comes in November. Devils.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
Well, good morning, folks. Whether you're up with the roosters or still easing into the day, I'm so glad that you're making the Midwest Farm Report a part of your Tuesday morning. Welcome in, everybody. I'm Charity Stebecker, and here at the Midwest Farm Report, we pride ourselves in trying to connect the dots on what's happening in agriculture. Today, for example, we're hearing more about the fire at West Madison Research Station, the journey to rebuilding, and how Wisconsin farm families can prevent a similar fate. Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, will have weather details on the way as well. Plus, the old phrase of Midwest nice can now translate to how you pilot your drone. Stephanie Hoff has the story for us in just a little bit, and we'll get an in-depth look into what's happening with our commodity markets here on a Tuesday morning as we visit with market advisor John Heimberg. All of these details are yet to come.
This year's Farm Technology Days is growing to the tune of success, August 13th through the 15th at the Country Fest Grounds in Cadott, Wisconsin. This year's show takes a glimpse into the future of agriculture with technology and technique. Visit wifarmtechdays.org for a full schedule of events.
Join our friends from Compeer Financial and the Agribusiness Tent 2 and the Midwest Farm Report at the Wisconsin Farm Technology Days on August 13th at 2 p.m. Compeer Financial is dedicated to agriculture in rural America by providing financial services throughout 144 counties in the Midwest. Learn more at compeer.com.
Fires are hard to put out and even harder to recover from. I'm Ben Jarbo from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. And after the fire at the West Madison Research Station, I had the opportunity to talk to Mike Bertram from the Arlington Research Station to see how they were able to rebuild from their fire 2 years ago.
We had a 12,000 square foot combination hay and machine storage shed on the station. We had about 700 bales in it and a lot of our equipment. And it was a nice, sunny, windy Sunday afternoon, June 26th of 2022. One of our employees was starting to cut some hay about a mile away, and he saw some smoke coming up and kind of raced over and called it in. He was already hearing some explosions at that point from tires blowing up and a lot of smoke coming. And it looked like it kind of started on the side of the shed where a pickup truck and our semi-truck were parked, but it quickly spread through the whole shed and engulfed everything. And then with a strong wind, that really fueled the fire and everything went fast.
Do you have any idea what caused the fire? Was it just static or something electrical?
I don't know if it was ever officially concluded, but it was suspected to be electrical.
What have you guys been able to do to rebuild from that and replace what was lost?
It was an extensive list of equipment that was lost. There were four tractors in the building, a fertilizer spreader, a semi-truck with a trailer and a Meyer silage trailer, a pickup truck with a cattle trailer, three different balers, some gravity boxes, and some augers and various things. And it was done in stages. So first we looked at our immediate needs, which were a baler, trucking, some of the things like that to move livestock. We were able to rent or borrow some of the immediate needs, and then we began the process of replacing. So the fertilizer spreader we had replaced by fall, some of the permanent like balers by spring, tractors kind of along the way. It took us probably close to a year to get all the equipment to replace what we had, with most of that happening kind of the following winter. The building was a little bit longer process. It took about 18 months to go through, first to get everything cleared out, evaluated, and then go through a process to get it bid out and finally constructed. So that was by December of 2023 that was done. And then the hay, we were able to bale more that summer, and we bought a few loads of grass hay. There was alfalfa hay, grass hay, some straw, and some corn stovers. So most of that was not harvested yet for the year. So that was fairly easy to replace.
Was there anything else that the fire affected, since you did use it for storage of hay and stuff?
It put a little more pressure on other places because a lot of it was used for storage, especially equipment that needs to stay dry. So we had to find other places to put that, which meant moving a few other things around. We also had a few neighbors that had shed space open that let us use their sheds to put things in so we could keep valuable pieces undercover yet.
About a week or a little more ago, the West Station had a shed a lot like yours burned down. What is something that you guys are able to do to help them recover from what happened?
Well, we're still in the process of trying to figure out what needs they have, and they're going through that process as well. One of the most immediate things was they had two bags of corn silage that the plastic melted, exposing the feed. And they raise the feed for the campus dairy and then haul it down there to refill a silo. So that was a kind of immediate need to try to save that feed. So we were helping them with trucking to try to move some of that feed to campus. As it goes forward, there's a few other things that we'll probably be helping with, but we're still just trying to get that all figured out right now.
What is the biggest learning experience that you can take away from having this happen here that might be helpful to that West Station?
I guess the biggest thing we learned is make sure you know what you have. Either take pictures, lists, know the serial numbers, the values, because it's really hard to find that once it's burned up. And a lot of times you're busy with other things, so it's easy to do that. It's a lot easier to get that list ahead of time. I feel really bad for them and anyone else who has a fire, because it's no fun. A lot of things are lost that had a lot of value, and it's hard to replace. But the biggest thing is buildings can be replaced, machinery can be replaced, and with both of our fires, no one was hurt, so that's the biggest thing out of that everyone was safe.
Overall, are you happy with how you guys have been able to rebound from having your fire?
I mean, looking back at it 2 years later, we have different equipment, not new equipment, so we've gotten by that way, but I'd still rather have the old shed and all the old equipment if I had the choice.
I also had the opportunity to speak with Michael Peters of the West Branch to see how they are handling this new situation.
So the cause of origin for the fire was the straw that we had just put into the shed. The origin investigator was never really able to say why the bale started on fire, but it was a bale we had just stacked in the shed within 10 minutes. And for some reason, it erupted into flames. And as we all know, with dry straw, it is a matter of you move from smoke to fire to a big conflagration really quick. So our staff was unable to put it out with fire extinguishers, and unfortunately it spread to the building.
Was there any equipment or anything lost in that fire?
Yeah, we did lose a Massey Ferguson tractor, a John Deere Titan combine, and a smaller Case IH front end loader tractor. Those were the three major pieces of equipment lost in that fire. Additionally, then we had a lot of plot equipment, as well as a lot of our planting equipment was in that shed at the time because it had been stored away. So some major equipment losses that we are working on getting replaced now.
So what are these next steps going to look like? I talked to Mike Bertram up at the Arlington site, and he said that it really took at least a year to start to get everything completely back mostly to where it was. What are the next steps for this site, and how were you guys able to learn here from what happened there 2 years ago?
Yeah, nobody likes to say that experience is a good thing in this case, but the experience really helped from knowing what we needed to do for the immediate cleanup, getting the compostable materials to a resource to get that composted, getting an excavator in here to clean up the steel. This fire just happened very recently, and if you look at the site today, 10 days later, we are cleaned up and have a clean site. So those lessons learned really helped. Additionally, just learning the insurance process and how we speak to what's mission-critical equipment to get it replaced. We are today trying to do third crop hay. So I didn't mention it before, but the bagger was our silage bagger was one of the pieces of equipment we lost. Knew how to justify that purchase. We have have that already on its way, so we'll be able to make third crop. The hay tedder and the merger were also two pieces of equipment that were in that shed. And again, we were able to get those replaced quickly so we can meet the immediate needs of doing our cropping as well as our research.
Are you going to be rebuilding the shed in the future?
Yep, the plan is to replace exactly as it was. We don't need any upgrades. We had the perfect shed, so we're going to hopefully find somebody to come in and quickly get us another shed, and I would love to see it before snowflakes fly.
When Peters was asked what any last thoughts he wanted to share, he had this to say.
I want to first say just a huge shout out to our first responders, both the Arlington Fire and the West Madison Fire. In both cases, the fire departments were simply amazing, and how they responded contained it to one structure. So anybody that's putting their life on the line to help be a first responder, thank you so much for everything you do. There's just not words of gratitude to say what you're doing for us. So thank you so much. Then my other word of advice for just anybody is have a good inventory of where your equipment is, the hours on it. Work with your teams to make sure that you have values on those equipment. Here again, as we were looking at the smoke and the fire, we were already prepping our list of what was in there, and that helps with the recovery, because once the fire is out and the mess is cleaned up, you got to worry about how you recover, and the recovery goes so much easier if you know what was there and you know that are able to establish values. It's really easy to work with your insurance teams to get that fixed.
Is that the hardest part of this whole process, or is there something else that you feel is harder about this process of just starting out after this fire?
I think that's the hardest part, is making strategic decisions really on the fly, because you have to make quick decisions to whether you're in harvest or planting season or even the seasons in between, decide what you need immediately, and you want to get your insurance teams to help you. And then the stuff you can wait on and make strategic decisions. If it's, I don't need that tractor today, am I better served to just wait and take a value for that and then use this opportunity to upgrade or downgrade based on how my business is evolving, or in our case, how is our research mission evolving, so we make sure that we're making the right investments. That's probably the hardest part, is just deciding when you move quick and when you move real slow and strategic.
Mike Bertram and Mike Peters on how to help prepare yourself in case a fire were to happen on your farm. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Ben Jarbo.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
CapTime's Idea Fest is back for a week of powerhouse speakers and sessions exploring important local and national topics. September 15th through the 21st in Madison. This year's guest speakers include Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi, former Member of Congress Liz Cheney, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, and historian Heather Cox Richardson, along with many others. Idea Fest brings together changemakers to discuss Wisconsin's triumphs and failures to help reach a better state. Purchase your tickets today at CapTimesIdeaFest.com to join this premier thought festival.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
It may be one of the prettiest fair sites in the state, and Brown County has hosted its historic fair along the riverfront in West De Pere for more than 165 years. The theme is a little something for everyone, and they're not kidding. There's a demolition derby, a professional rodeo competition, horse, truck, and tractor pulls, special shows just for the kids, nightly live music, exhibits including everything from animals to antiques, photography to woodworking, rooster crowing contest, games, rides, homemade wine and beer judging, and food. Lots of food. Oh, your admission price, including parking, rides, and all the events. How about that? Fairgrounds open at 8 a.m. Carnival area gets going after 11, 10 a.m. on Saturday and Sunday. It all shuts down at 10:30, 11:30 on weekend nights. The Brown County Fair runs Wednesday, August 14th through Sunday, August 18th. Enjoy. And until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I was in a drive-thru line and forgot to order. I was on the phone, thought I ordered, and just stayed in line and got up to the window. There was no order for me. And I said to the guy, I go, can I just order now? And he was so condescending. And he goes, well, typically what we do, sir, here is we order back at the speaker, and this is where you pick it up. I've never felt so stupid in my entire life.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, Brian and I will be talking about the Olympics. What was your favorite event? We want to hear from you. I'll also be joined by Wisconsin Policy Forum past president Rob Henkin.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Did you know that different weather patterns can actually affect the flavor of your favorite fruits and veggies? For instance, a sunny, warm season can make tomatoes extra sweet, while a cooler, wetter summer might lead to a better harvest for some greens. So as we check out today's weather forecast, think about how it might be shaping not just our crops in the field that you see as you're driving down the road, but also our delicious produce on your plate. So let's get into it. Let's see what Mother Nature has in store for us. It's time for our ag weather update with our ag meteorologist, Stu Buck. So, Stu, what can we expect for weather coming up? Have you noticed if it's changing the sweetness of any fruits and veggies on your plate?
I have been eating them too fast to pay attention. I don't know. We're in that summertime bounty, no doubt about that. I mean, the gardens are producing sweet corn, tomatoes have been coming in here, cucumbers. Things are looking so very much better than they did a month ago, and we seem to be underwater. We do stay dry today, and those temperatures warm up. A great summer day. Normal temperature ranges, I mean, low 80s today with sunshine is great, but there may be a few sprinkles, especially in that northeastern, call it third of Wisconsin or along the lakeshore. I did have a couple of those sprinkles late yesterday here, just south of Fond du Lac, outside working a little project. And all of a sudden, is that a raindrop? And there were about 25 of them. By the time I picked up what I was doing, it stopped. But that was the way it was. It may happen again today in that far northeast or eastern edge of the state. Otherwise, sunshine and clear weather. Low pressure is going to pull a resting front, a front that extends Montana, Wyoming, down to Kansas and Oklahoma. That front will start to march our way. So as we wrap up Wednesday night and head to Thursday, rain becoming more of a likelihood around the state. And it really looks to me that through Thursday into Thursday night, rain amounts in that half to easily 1 inch range look to be pretty much a possibility almost across the entire state. Heavier in the south, lighter as you head off to the northeast, but it does appear we'll be getting wet for Thursday and cooling a bit as well. I'll have more forecast details right after this.
Learn how to benefit your farm with Compeer Financial's Navigating Tech Investments Agri-Mindset webinar on August 21st at 1 o'clock. Sign up online at compeer.com/register for this powerful webinar to benefit your farm on August 21st at 1 o'clock. Go to compeer.com/register now to get the most out of your farm's tech investments on August 21st. Compeer Financial is a full credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2024, all rights reserved.
Dairy Girl Network invites all dairy women to join them at their biannual conference in Kansas City. The Forward Together Conference is November 5th through 7th and features 25 speakers with breakout sessions and time to connect with fellow farm women. The conference also has a trade show, shopping, and photo headshots. For full details and to register, visit dairygirlnetwork.com. Registration deadline is October 8th.
Alrighty, Sue, let's hear our weather forecast for the day.
All right, Charity, I expect we're in for sunny skies, maybe those sprinkles east and northeast this afternoon, but a lot of low 80s, anywhere from around 81 to 84 in the west, and the winds become southeast today around 5. We'll clear it out again then overnight and drop back into the upper 50s, maybe a 60 here and there. Southeast breeze will be around 5. Mostly sunny Wednesday, although a slight chance of a little rain developing toward late afternoon in the west. I'd expect temps again in the lower 80s, 82, 83, 84. East and southeast winds around 5 to 10. A little rain developing from west to east Wednesday night. More likely some showers, maybe an isolated storm Thursday. Upper 70s on Thursday, Charity. We start to dry it out and those temperatures warming again. Upper 70s toward the 80s for the weekend ahead.
Well, I've got my county fair the rest of the week in Juneau County, so it sounds like it won't be too hot, but yet also not downpouring the whole time. So I think that's a win.
Yeah, you get a day of rain on Thursday, and after that, it sounds much better.
Yep, I will take it. Once again, everybody, that is Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, with our ag weather update on a Tuesday. Be sure to let us know how your fields are looking or what your crop progress is by messaging our talk text line at 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Stick around with us as you never know what you'll learn next.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
From I-43 to I-41. This is the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We're continuing our series exploring whether new rules will protect our presidential election process from being hijacked. The Electoral Count Reform Act added safeguards in Congress and clarified the role of the vice president, but it also clarified procedures and deadlines for the states. The Electoral Count Reform Act confirmed that a presidential election in all states and D.C. must occur by the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November, and that no postponements would be allowed. Catastrophic events such as natural disasters or terrorist attacks are the only exceptions. The act also made clear that a state legislature has no power to set aside the results of an election, and that a state may not change its method of choosing electors after Election Day. It also clarifies that a governor or lawfully designated state official are the only authorized executive allowed to transmit the certificate of ascertainment and the list of electors, avoiding another fake elector scheme. The transmission goes directly to Congress 6 days before the electors convene, which must occur by the first Tuesday after the second Wednesday in December. This election, that's December 17th, 2024. Most states adjusted statutes to align with the new federal law, but some legislatures have enabled election boards to still throw a wrench into that process. More on that tomorrow. We've linked to resources at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Delayed 40 minutes by technical issues, the ex-social media chat between former President Trump and Elon Musk.
Mr. Trump claimed there was an audience of 60 million when it actually peaked at 1.3.
We're going to have the largest deportation in history of this country.
Calling asylum seekers.
People that are in jail for murder and all sorts of things.
And?
They're telling them, if you come back, we're going to kill you.
That's never been proven. A statement by the Harris Walls campaign called it self-obsessed rich guys who will sell out the middle class and who cannot run a live stream in the year 2024. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
The Democratic convention next week. Sources say former Presidents Obama and Clinton will address the delegates, as will President Trump. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton opened an investigation into CenterPoint Energy, electric utility for Houston, over its fumbled response post-Hurricane Beryl. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Nitrate is the most common health-related contaminant found in Wisconsin's groundwater, and you can get your well tested for free. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources will be providing free well water testing for nitrate at Farm Technology Days in Cadott, August 13th through 15th. environmental groups in Wisconsin are urging voters to reject two proposed amendments to the state constitution in Tuesday's primary election. If approved, the amendments would give the Republican-led legislature power to allocate certain federal funds instead of the governor. Melissa Johnson of the nonpartisan organization Green Fire worries these changes would make it harder to use state resources to address climate change-fueled storms or to build green infrastructure.
We're in competition with other states who have streamlined processes to get that money. I don't think Wisconsin wants to wait.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers and Dodgers continue. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball tonight, the Brewers and Dodgers game two of a four-game series with Colin Ray against LA's right-hander Gavin Stone. 37-year-old Clayton Kershaw led the Dodgers to a 5-2 win last night at AmFam Field, Kershaw allowing just one run in 5 2/3 innings. Manager Pat Murphy.
He's a consummate pitcher, you know, like this guy is Hall of Famer for a reason. He'd be the first to tell you his stuff isn't as good, but yeah, I haven't seen our young guys respond that way. The moment was a lot. You know, and a little surprised, but Kershaw was great. He deserves everything he's going to get in this game.
NFL, the Packers holding practice before heading to Denver to play the Broncos. Lucas Van Ness had three tackles and a quarterback sack in the win over the Browns and was asked if he's feeling more comfortable in the Packers' new 4-3 defense.
Comfortable is not a good word to use just because, again, you're fine for your job. You never want to be comfortable because it's always, you know, you're growing and you're trying to get to the next position.
That's Lucas Van Ness with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On our next show, we'll feature NBC 26 meteorologist Lauren Larson in our Neighborhood Focus segment.
And we'll meet Max Olson, an interesting young man from our area.
Join us.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 9. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Partly cloudy today with an isolated shower or thunderstorm possible later this afternoon. Our high 83 with wind out of the southwest at 5 to 10. Tonight, clear 62. Tomorrow, partly cloudy 84 with showers and thunderstorms likely Thursday and Friday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I've got some wonky terminology, so bear with me. I'm talking about credit utilization and how that affects your credit score. Credit utilization just means how much of your credit you're using. So let's say you have a $10,000 limit on your credit card. Now, lots of us think it's okay to spend up to that $10,000 every month as long as you pay it off in full at the end of the month. Well, it turns out the credit bureaus, these agencies that assign us our credit scores, they only want us to use maybe 10, 20, or maximum 30% of our credit limit each month, like $1,000 to $3,000 tops if you've got $10,000 in credit. And your credit utilization counts for 30% of your total credit score. I don't love the rules, but knowing them helps us manage our credit scores the way we want to. For more about credit scores or just about getting good at money, check out my videos at Work Money Media on YouTube.
This history can't be denied. Wisconsin is the home of the hamburger. About 30 minutes west of Green Bay, you'll find the city of Seymour, where in the 1880s, young Charlie Nagreen pushed his food cart to the fair. The 15-year-old planned to sell round balls of beef to visitors, but it didn't quite catch on. Can you guess the surprising reason why? The answer's coming up. Every summer, the home of the hamburger celebrates its history in a huge way with Burger Fest in Seymour. There's a 200-pound burger on the grill, a bun, run, ketchup slide, and of course, a burger-eating contest. So did you guess why Charlie's first beef recipe didn't work out? Well, as the story goes, visitors to the fair wanted to walk around. Charlie realized he needed to smash his beef ball between two pieces of bread to be able to eat it on the go. Charlie's hamburger, a huge success, making Seymour the home of the hamburger, a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hi, this is Jim Schmidt, your former mayor of Green Bay. You know, I've always cared about local issues. I still do. Join me on my new show, Lean Local, here on WGBW. I'll interview community leaders and elected officials, discuss the economy and development projects, and we'll talk about the future of education here in Greater Green Bay. As they say, all politics is local. So join me for Lean Local, Sunday at 1 p.m. on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 WGBW.
Man.
Matt Nair on Air.
I trust Tim Walz to blank.
One from Luke Mathers that says, Tim Walz seems like the neighbor who knew that you were going to be out of town that weekend, so he mowed your lawn while you were gone so you didn't have to do it when you got back.
Keith from Middleton.
I was just going to say, I trust Tim Walz to watch my 3 and 5-year-old grandchildren.
I trust Tim Walz to escort me home to get away from the creep at the bar.
Matt Nair on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm sitting in the theater, Conrad. I'm alone. A couple walks in. Where do you think they sat?
Right in front of you.
Right in front of me. You moron. How can you... Spatial awareness. My goodness. Next day, go to this bathroom. There's like 7 urinals. I'm all the way down in the end. Where do you think this person came in? Not right next to me, but enough where it was weird.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
It's just unbelievable to have football back on television.
What's happening with our commodity markets on this Tuesday? Stick around to find out as John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing, will have those details in just a little bit. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Charity Seebecker, and this is the Midwest Farm Report. Thanks for joining us on this Tuesday morning. In case you missed it earlier, today will be sunny with a high of 83. But now let's take a quick trip down memory lane. On August 13th, 1926, the world saw the invention of the first successful combine harvester. It was obviously a big game changer for modern farming. And this innovative machine revolutionized grain harvesting by combining reaping, threshing, and winnowing into one efficient process. Invented by John Frelick, the combine harvester allowed farmers to drastically increase productivity and efficiency, making it a cornerstone of our agriculture industry as we know it today. And in a fun twist of history, on August 13, 2012, the U.S. Department of Agriculture introduced its Plant Hardiness Zone Map app. This digital tool transformed how gardeners and farmers determine which plants will thrive in their local climates by providing precise zone information based on geographic location. The app reflects the USDA's commitment to advancing agricultural science and supporting sustainable farming practices through technology. And speaking of advancements, the Wisconsin Farm Technology Days kicks off today in Cadott and runs through the 15th. Farm Director Pam Yonke will be there, so be sure to go say hi if you see her out and about. And among the many things that you can explore, there's the latest in agricultural technology, from advanced machinery to robotic milkers and drones. And this year, there will even be drone demos. Just as there's an etiquette for driving on the road that we follow, there's also a thing called drone etiquette. Stephanie Hoff has the story on what you need to know.
Midwest NICE can now apply to how you pilot your drone. Preston Rice joins us. He's the founder and co-owner of Madison Area Drone Service. They sell and service drone products and specialize in agricultural drones. Preston says that as the drone industry grows, so does the importance of safe and polite flying. He says even though the rules and regulations say you can fly pretty much wherever you want, doesn't necessarily mean you should.
You kind of can, just in the same way I can drive a car any speed I want. Whether you should or not is a different story. But, you know, with that being said, the drones themselves are becoming, we'll say, easier for the operators to not get themselves into trouble. For example, back in 2015, a drone flew into the White House lawn. So that was kind of a story that hit the headlines, like, wow, wait a minute, these things are doing stuff that we didn't know they could do. Well, with the products we have right now, that would be almost impossible to do. They have built-in geofencing that's going to help keep them from getting into situations like that to begin with. But other things that they help you with is, for example, maybe limiting your flight altitude to a legal altitude. You as the operator, just like we drive a car, we have to look out for pedestrians. We also have to do the same thing as a drone pilot and make sure that we're not flying over people or putting the drone in a potentially hazardous situation.
Are there particular things to be aware of, like if someone has a no trespassing sign outside their home, does that pertain to drones?
That's a good one. So people aren't going to like my answer to that because you don't own the air, unfortunately. So if you own property, you own the property and you own that space, but all of the airspace, even a foot off the ground, is basically governed by the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration. Now, however, that doesn't mean you can just go fly a drone or private property all day and not expect some consequences. I like to call them like the common sense rules, right? So just like I could go outside and put my camera over my neighbor's fence and videotape all day long, it's going to be a problem. Right? I can do that, but it's not going to go well. So same thing with drones too. Yes, you can fly over private property, but you need to use common sense. Should you be there? Are you causing a disturbance? And are there other things that could be hazardous that you don't know about?
Can you get the authorities involved? Like who do you call?
Well, it goes both ways, right? So you kind of get into this, you know, who's the bigger brother here? So let's say I'm flying somewhere. Let's make a real story and say I've got a job to do. I was called in to maybe do a multispectral imaging of a farmer's field to figure out how we wanted to pursue a sprain. Well, I'm out there flying and maybe the neighbor next door doesn't like that. They're going, well, wait, is that drone flying over my house? Is it, you know, is it over my field? I don't know what he's doing. So they could call the local authorities and come and check and say, hey, what's going on here? You know, what are you doing? Right. And so ultimately you could tell at that point and say, well, look, I have the authority to fly here. I've checked the classification of airspace. I have prepared my launch site. We're doing everything to the books. But at the end of the day, if that neighbor really is just not too happy with you being there, you might have to kind of side with the local authorities and say, all right, maybe let's come to an agreement here on how we can use this. But to be honest with you, these sorts of problems very rarely happen. The old, you know, shotgun coming out, shooting down a drone doesn't happen as much as you'd think.
Let me leave it at this. So the common sense rules you talked about, but can you leave us with tips for flying politely?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is to, you know, really know the equipment that you're operating. And before you even get to that level, just like we don't hop behind a car until we've got a learner's permit, and finally a driver's license, we need to know the basic rules and regulations. So take your time and study up on that. Even if you don't need that, we'll say drone pilot's license, the Part 107, even if you don't need that, you still should study for it because it's really going to help you understand how to be a good, safe pilot. And beyond that, again, always keep those common sense rules in the back of your head and it's going to go a long way.
And Preston, you are telling me that as the drone technology advances and gets more popular, you are looking for some rule changes or adjustments.
For example, flying beyond visual line of sight. That's a current rule that we have to follow. But think about how that limits us. And specifically, we do a lot of work also with law enforcement. So a lot of police and fire departments and things like that. And so being able to fly a drone beyond where I can physically see it could actually save a life, right? Especially if there's a hostile situation or something like that. So that's one of those kind of rules where, you know, just like the flying swarms of drones, we see that as this changes over time, it's kind of for the better. And those are really things that are helping. One example I have is, so in Australia, there's actually severe wildfires that were happening out there. And so the local authorities are able to effectively and very quickly send out drones to spot where these hotspots are and to figure out how the fire is progressing to handle it really quickly. In that situation, they had to fly a little bit beyond line of sight, but look at the net difference. It was a net positive.
Preston Rice is the co-founder of Madison Area Drone Service. They work with customers across the state on their agricultural drone needs. He gives us a sample of some do's and don'ts when it comes to piloting your drone. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Dairy Girl Network invites all dairy women to join them at their biannual conference in Kansas City. The Forward Together Conference is November 5th through 7th and features 25 speakers with breakout sessions and time to connect with fellow farm women. The conference also has a trade show, shopping, and photo headshots. For full details and to register, visit DairyGirlNetwork.com. Registration deadline is October 8th.
Learn how to benefit your farm with Compeer Financial's Navigating Tech Investments Agri-Mindset webinar on August 21st at 1 o'clock. Sign up online at compeer.com/register for this powerful webinar to benefit your farm on August 21st at 1 o'clock. Go to compeer.com/register now to get the most out of your farm's tech investments on August 21st. Compeer Financial is a full credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2024, all rights reserved.
Join the Midwest Farm Report and Pam Yonke as she kicks off Wisconsin Farm Technology Days at the Oxbow exhibit on August 13th at 9 a.m. in booth 347. Oxbow is a leader in harvesting and application technology. Visit oxbow.com.
The fabulous farm babe Pam Yonke will also be broadcasting at 11:30 a.m. in booth 520 on 5th Street with Rural Mutual Insurance. Learn how the number one farm insurer is keeping Wisconsin strong with premiums paid here that stay here. Visit ruralmutual.com.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Charity Seebecker. Happy to be with you on this Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining me here at the Midwest Farm Report. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection is accepting applications for the 2025 Producer-Led Watershed Protection Grants. They're accepting these through September 13th. The grants are awarded to producer-led groups to help support and advance producer-led conservation solutions and farmer participation in local watershed conservation efforts. The total program budget for 2025 is set at $1 million. Eligible groups that apply can receive up to $40,000. The grants aim to help farmers find and promote conservation solutions best suited for their watershed based on topography, soil, their types of operations, and many other factors that can differ among regions of the state. You can learn more about this as well as find other agribusiness news stories on our website at MidwestFarmReport.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for our e-newsletter as you'll receive 5 stories delivered to your inbox every day, 365. Now let's take a look at our markets for the morning. From Chicago, cash corn is trading at 381.5. That's down 1.75. New crop corn is trading at 399.5. That's down 2 cents. Cash soybeans are trading at 970.75. That's down 15.25 cents. And new crop beans are trading at 988.5. And that is down 15 cents. And wheat is trading at 531. And that is down 5.75. September Class 3 milk contract is trading at 21.25 a hundredweight. That's up 12 cents. And October milk is trading at 21.62. And that is up 5 cents. Barrel cheese closed yesterday at 209. That was up 8.5 cents. 40-pound block cheese closed at $2. That was up 4.25. And the double A butter closed up 4.25 cents yesterday and closed at 314. These are your morning markets here on this Tuesday, August 13th. Be sure to stick around with me here on the Midwest Farm Report as we have more news on the way.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW. And on the Civic Media app.
Busted Pencils.
Fully leaded education talk.
If the critique, if the beef of Tim Walz is that he spent money on children, on what they needed, whether that be universal meals or whether that be, you know, record amounts for a state to invest in early childhood development. I am like, man, you are critiquing this guy and making him even more my hero.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Speaking of J.D. Vance, if you're watching on the stream, you can see behind me what we're now calling the J.D. Vance couch. There are some reports that back in the day, during the frat days of J.D. Vance, he may have gotten intimate with a couch.
You know, I've slept on that couch a few times, but I can't say I've slept with that couch, and nor do I plan to.
No.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Jane Matinaire and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Fancy Brian Kelly joins us at 10:33. Hour number 2, we learn about the growing popularity of green burials. Don't miss it.
Matinaire on Air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on Air.
Marketing.com or at 800-334-9779. So, John, let's start with the USDA Crop Progress Report. It came out yesterday, and one of the big things I noticed is that the USDA hiked the U.S. production total of soybeans, and the prices are responding as such. What are you seeing on that front?
Yeah, yesterday's USDA supply-demand report came out in mid-morning yesterday, and this was kind of a highly anticipated report given the crop conditions and where things were, obviously, with the flooding over the spring. There was going to be some acre adjustments. At least that's what the market was anticipating, and they got those adjustments as well as any adjustments to yield. So let's get right into the numbers, and let's talk about that soybean market because things in that report were very, very negative overall for the marketplace. We're seeing the reflection in price yesterday, down another 15 cents today, and unfortunately it feels like we got more air underneath this market for it to move. I mean, the biggest thing, like, first off came in was planted area. They added 1 million acres to soybeans, getting us up now to harvested area of 86.3 million acres, which was already a concern given the global supplies that we're seeing. But then on top of that, you know, crop ratings have stayed very, very strong for soybeans. In fact, they've gone up another percentage point yesterday on the crop progress report. They raised yield to 53.2 bushels per acre. Now that's going to be a very strong yield. It's going to be a record crop if things hold together. Obviously, we still got a lot of time. We got to get this crop across the finish line, but it was very, very concerning to the market. The biggest thing is when we get into the balance sheet, you're looking at a stockpile possibly for 24-25, at least this is early projections, of 560 million bushels of ending stocks. That is the third largest on record, largest since 2018. And obviously prices are going to reflect, especially since we're competing with the South American countries, you know, for that export business. Now we've got extra supplies. And then realistically, I think some of the demand numbers are probably overstated. Now, typically the USDA, when they increase supplies, they increase demand. And that makes me a little concerned given where we are in terms of pace of sales, that carryout number could be pushing into the 600, maybe 700 million bushels as we get closer into the springtime and we get a better picture of where things are in terms of soybean demand here in the United States.
Well, transitioning now to corn, forecast production for that was down slightly from last year too. What is that telling you?
You know, the corn numbers came in fairly neutral. That was one of the things I think the market was a little antsy about, probably priced in, you know, quite a bit of negativity. It's why we saw a little bit of positive reaction yesterday. It wasn't anything bullish. They did make some movement. We lost 70,000 acres in terms of harvested acres. That's probably reflecting the flooding that we saw in the, you know, Western Corn Belt. But then yield was moved up to 183.1, which will be a record yield. Now, typically, again, you lose acres, yield goes up. Plus, again, the crop ratings continue to stay strong. You know, I've got a lot of producers in the core producing states basically telling me they've got a monster coming. And as long as the weather can hold out, that'll probably get across the finish line. So corn prices actually hung in there pretty well yesterday. You know, ending stocks, that's the big number we always focus on, is 2.073 billion, excuse me, which is still one of the largest numbers since 2018. Again, showing a pretty good supply that's going to be out there. That's going to keep a lid on prices. The biggest problem I think right now in the corn market is the amount of old crop corn that's still got to get moved here, and now we're getting into that crunch time window. September basis contracts need to be priced. Old crop corn just needs to get moved out of the bin to make room for this monster crop that's potentially coming, and that's going to be something that's going to be a real headwind over top this corn market here as prices are continuing to slip back a little bit, obviously probably fueled a little bit with those soybeans.
Are there any other key takeaways from that report that are key, you're keeping an eye on that we should be aware of?
You know, now it's all about demand, and that's going to be the biggest focus of this marketplace. We kind of know we got a pile coming, and for both corn and soybeans. Now we got to get it moved. Currently, export sales for the new crop year, soybeans, realistically, just finally got back over the trade war levels on corn, one of our softer sets in the last decade. So we need to see some numbers come in now. We've been getting some sales, but they're small, 160,000 tons of corn, you know, a couple hundred thousand tons of soybeans. Those are incremental. We need some big numbers to start showing up our way. And right now we're still at least struggling against those South American countries. We're competitive in price, but there's also other factors that come into play and getting some of that demand moved back to our shores.
Well, transitioning now quick to live cattle futures, those were falling yesterday pretty significantly. Can you provide a quick insight into that recent cattle price washout we've been seeing?
Yeah, the cattle market took a big tumble last week and has at least finally found some footing here and starting to consolidate a little bit. So some of that was technical. We broke through some key barriers. Sellers stepped into the market aggressively. Some of that was tied to the washout in the stock market that we saw here. Also, I think just money flow, and they went after assets that had high value, and cattle was unfortunately one of those. We've at least found some footing here, but now this cattle market's still a little bit shaky. The fundamentals are still friendly, but we're going to be driven by cash markets. We're going to be driven by retail demand. If those prices continue to stay shaky, we saw softer cash last week. I think the cattle market's got a little bit more room to go. You know, sometimes traders like to be in a market for a while and then they kind of just say, we're tired of this. And I'm hoping the cattle market is not in that case.
Thanks, John. We'll catch up with you next week. Once again, everybody, that is John Heinberg, our market advisor with Total Farm Marketing from West Bend, joining us. You can reach him at totalfarmmarketing.com or at 800-334-9779. Thanks for sticking around with me on this Tuesday morning here on the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Charity Seebecker. Have a great day, everybody.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Matt Nair on air.
We were talking about Donald Trump. I'm sorry, Donald Trump. He also said that he knows how to correctly pronounce Kamala Harris's name. He just chooses not to. And so I think that kind of opens it up for us to take some liberties.
Yeah, what would be your fix to the name?
Dave from New Berlin texting in, Conald.
Conald.
Dump. Also, Calvin's was Donald Trump.
Who said there's a correct one?
Except, like, it's pronounced Kamala.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
If you've made it through the summer so far without keeling over from the heat, congratulations! And stay tuned for Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits, like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for RHIZOL from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Summer heat can kill you, literally. Farm workers are particularly vulnerable. According to Dee Jepson, a health and safety educator at The Ohio State University,
half of the deaths that happen to workers will happen on their very first day of the job. 70% occur within the worker's first week.
You can't not do the work, but says Jepson, you can be smart about it.
What I say first and foremost, think about the schedule. Be considerate of when you can be the most productive. And if you can change and bale that straw or work livestock or do something else, rather than the heat of the day, everybody's a lot more comfortable and the safety of the animals, the safety of the workers is good.
Jepson says it's good to take rest breaks, find some shade if you can, and it's really important to stay hydrated.
A lot of times people think, I don't want to drink that much, I'll be sick. If you're really out working in this heat, every 20 minutes, drink a cup of water. You'll feel much better.
Workers who show signs of heat illness should get medical help immediately. That includes dizziness, fatigue, impaired judgment, and lack of ability to concentrate. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as it's Tuesday Tangents with our own Luke Mathers. Be here, find out what's grinding his gears and more.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Are you and your family weather ready?
I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather-ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Warm weather, humidity, and thunderstorms in Wisconsin bring mosquitoes that bite and annoy us throughout the spring and summer months.
They're there. They're always there. And then when we have high rainfall years, they're going to be more prevalent.
In fact, the first confirmed case of the West Nile virus has bitten Wisconsin. It was found in a blood donor from Washington County and also in a dead bird in Chippewa County. The West Nile virus is spread to humans, birds, and other animals through the bite of these infected mosquitoes.
Eliminate any water sources. Dump those flower pots out. Don't let dog or kitty pools sit. Fill them when you're going to use them and then dump them out. Clean the gutters. Reduce those sources is definitely going to help. You want to still be able to enjoy your yard.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston.